Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. It's a crazy world out there, and we're all just living it, watching it. I feel like I didn't get nearly enough sleep this weekend because I was just on Twitter, which I know is bad. And then I watched The Social Dilemma, so I know it's bad. But I deleted Facebook off my phone, and I'm pretty proud of myself for doing that. It's been like 3 days and it's going good. It's going really good. I'm not going to get rid of Twitter on my phone though. I just cannot do that. Twitter is like a true addiction. I love it so much. It's where my people are, you know? Today on the show, we have my good friend Marie Wilson. You know her from As the World Turns, Port Charles, Days of Our Lives. If your TV's been on during the afternoon, you have seen her. She's fantastic. I love her so much. She's one of the kindest people I've ever known. And I loved speaking with her. So here's that conversation. Welcome, Marie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's Friday. So it's a good day.
I know, Friday. I don't have anything to do, but it's great.
it just, you know, we're just in the habit of Friday. Thank God it's Friday. TGIF, right?
So TGIF. I know it's, I wonder how that started. Was it because of like paychecks going out on Fridays or was it just like the start of the weekend?
I'm sure it had to do with both because, you know, you have a paycheck to start your weekend.
Right. Spend the whole paycheck for the weekend. It's great.
Exactly.
How have you been during this quarantine and pandemic? What have you been up to?
You know, it was, well, obviously it wasn't great. It was obviously a transition for all of us, but it was kind of nice in the beginning. It was like a staycation without feeling guilty that you're not working. So, and you know, I enjoyed my time with my daughter because she's home from college. Yeah. That was really nice. And you know, you got to spend more time with, you know, well, not personally, physically with the people you loved. You talked to them and texted a lot. So, then I started getting a little antsy after a while. You know, you start going a little stir crazy and you're like, okay, I'm done now.
Yeah. Let me out.
Yeah.
Have you done any like quarantine DIY projects?
I have been doing that. My whole house has been under construction. Although I was trying not to do too much because, you know, I'm in a condo, so I don't want to disturb my neighbors that are at home too, and I didn't want them to hear banging and all that. But I kind of did some freshening up of my bathroom and you know, just little home stuff around the house. You kind of want to make it like your sanctuary since you're here now so much. So I got to be really handy, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I redid my entire bedroom. I just redid the whole thing.
Nice. Doesn't it feel good?
It feels great.
Yeah.
It feels, and honestly, I got like a lot of the stuff that I put in my room, like my new nightstand, and I have this like little chest for all of my dogs, like things.
Oh, I love that idea.
Yeah. And I got it all from Facebook Marketplace, man. It's like, it's my favorite place. I literally stock that thing now because it's just so good. I have this beautiful little gray nightstand that looks very like French country, and it's an Ethan Allen vintage for $40.
Oh my God, that's amazing. You know, I do know great, great stuff about that site. I should, I keep forgetting about it. You know, there's so many sites out there. I just can't keep up.
But I know there's so many, like now thrifting websites, which is great for somebody like me because I love thrifting. And when everything shut down, I couldn't go anymore.
Well, I think it's great for all of us because, you know, we just tend to purchase stuff and then throw it out. And I'm like, well, you know, our landfill situation is becoming out of control here. So it's kind of nice to upcycle and recycle and, you know, reuse stuff. I think it's just being more conscious, I think, of
100%.
So I am. Yeah, I'm so glad.
Have you used ThredUp at all? I mean, we're totally off subject right now, but have you used that website? Because it's amazing.
I have not. My daughter has, and she really loves it. So I will check it out one of these days. But like I said, there's so many I can't keep up, and then you know, and I'm like, okay, I'm taking a break. I can't. There's just too many.
Yeah. Oh my gosh! All right. Well, let's talk about you for a bit here. Tell me, because you know I've known you for a little bit now, but it's always so interesting when I have somebody that I know on the show because I actually get to know their backstory. It's like when you meet somebody on set and you start working with them, it's not you don't necessarily learn how they got to where they are, which is what makes this podcast super fun for me. So what made you get into the business to begin with? What made you want to become an actor, or did you want to become an actor? Did you just fall into it?
I have to say I kind of fell into it. I'm the type of person that kind of goes with the flow. I feel every time I make a plan, it doesn't work. You know, what's that saying that
Murphy's Law?
Murphy's Law, or you know, you make a plan and God laughs at it, or whatever that line is. So I try, which is always a work in progress, to live my life day by day and moment to moment. So I fell into it. I just, one thing led to another. Out of high school one year, I was really bored. All my friends were going on vacation and I was home alone. So I thought, what am I going to do? And my mom found this, you know, self-improvement course at John Casablancas Modeling Agency. So I took it to learn how to do makeup and stuff. I thought, oh, what a fun girly thing. And so I enjoyed that. And then after that, the agency wanted to, you know, take some pictures and look at my work. So I did that. And that led to them signing me. And I started modeling and did that for quite a while. And that took me traveling to Europe, which was fun. Traveling is the funnest part. I love that.
Wow.
I got to see a lot of beautiful places like Spain and England and Paris. And so.
Oh my! And how old were you at that point?
I was, I think, 21, because my mom did not want me to travel before I was 20. So, active, you know, which I totally understand, especially in this industry, going across the country and, you know, by yourself with an agency that you don't know anything about. Although, you know, my agent in Toronto at the time assured her everything was fine, but you know, she's just being a mom, like I'm sure I do.
Oh yeah. So, I could totally see you being like, Skye, you're not doing that 100% no.
Exactly. Or I'm coming with you.
Yeah. Mommy's coming too, darling.
She's like, Mom. So I modeled for a while, and then that led to commercial work, and that led me here to LA. I just moved to LA because it was warmer and I got tired of snow in Toronto. And I thought I'd give it a chance. And my agent at the time, which was Elite, started sending me out for TV shows. Mm. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. I can't act. What are you doing?
You're like, what do I do? How exactly. do I stand here? I'm supposed to talk.
It's like, oh my God, this is a new thing for me. So I took some classes here, and then I started booking TV shows, which I was like, oh my God, really? They want me? So again, I just fell into it, and I just went with the flow, and I was just happy to be working and having fun on set and getting, you know, these opportunities. So I was so grateful. You know, still kind of living my life like that day to day.
It's so funny. Especially right now. Well, yeah, especially now. I mean, I always think of you as being kind of this like free spirited, not like hippie in like a bad sense, but like hippie and like you're just like so free to me. Like you just give off this energy of being like so joyful and so free. So this story just totally tracks.
Oh, that's nice to hear that. Thank you. That's a compliment for me, because I think that's so important to really, and I don't mean to sound like weird or anything, but you do have to live, you know, each day, because we don't know what tomorrow brings. So, you know, just be in the moment, which is the hardest thing to do, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Our brain is always thinking of the future or the past, and it's like, just be here now. Mm-hmm. And I think that's such an important statement, and so difficult to do at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, embracing that it's nice when you get those few seconds, and then your brain goes again.
Yeah. I love seeing that you're always like out in nature and hiking and doing things that are just, I think, really important to keep your mental health stable.
Oh my God. Yeah. Nature, I think that just grounds me. And you realize how beautiful, what a beautiful planet we're living on. I mean, come on, it's just stunning out there. And, you know, sometimes we get caught in this rat race and we forget the beauty of what's out there. So it kind of just brings me down to earth.
Yeah.
Literally.
So you get to LA and you're doing TV shows, and when does General Hospital come into play?
So the first thing I did was To the Beat, the Sonny and Cher story, where I played Mary Bono, and I was pregnant on that, which was hilarious for me.
Amazing.
I was so young at the time, and I thought, oh my God, this is what pregnancy looks like. So that was funny. And then after that, I got Poor Charles. So it wasn't like a big time span of, you know, going out there and auditioning. So
Charles was before General Hospital.
Port Charles is part of General Hospital. Okay. And so when I did Port Charles, I also did a few episodes on General Hospital.
Gotcha.
With Maurice Bernard, and you know, because they're linked, the shows were linked.
Yeah.
So you know, we kind of just went across the stage to the other stage back and forth. And that was fun. I got to meet a lot of amazing people on that set.
That's so funny. It's kind of how Grey's Anatomy and Station 9 are doing that now too, where it's like everything's just kind of crossing over, and like every episode now is almost a crossover, and you're just like, oh, so we're just in this world now.
I think it's brilliant, actually, because it expands the audience, and it kind of, yeah, it expands the family and the viewers, and it just connects more people. And I think it's a very clever way of doing shows. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm sure there's some downsides to that, but there's two sides.
I mean, I think it's super interesting because they've done it before, especially with Grey's Anatomy, with Private Practice. But it wasn't as much of a crossover, but now it's like almost every episode is a crossover event, which I think is really cool, because at the same time, they keep the episodes separate enough where you don't have to watch the other show. But if you do, you just know more.
That's I think that's very clever.
Yeah, I mean, it sucked me in. They did it. Yeah. They won. Krista Bonoff won. Shonda Rhimes won.
Accomplished. There you go.
Okay. So after General Hospital in Port Charles, how long until As the World Turns? Because you've just kind of made your rounds on all of these soaps, which is amazing. I feel like most soap actors only ever do like one of them, but you've done like almost all of them.
Well, I've done three after Port Charles went off the air, sadly, because it was such a cutting edge show. I think Port Charles started the whole vampire genre and that whole concept.
That's right.
I think they were so cutting edge.
Oh my gosh, yes. I forget who it is. There's a guy who's on General Hospital now that was on Port Charles as a vampire, and because my mom still watches this show, so every time she's watching it and I see it, I immediately see him as a vampire.
Yeah.
Immediately. I'm like, is he going to suck somebody's throat? Like, what's happening?
Probably Michael Easton. Is that probably who you're talking about?
I'd have to look up a photo, but yeah. I now that you mention it, I do remember that being a thing.
Yeah. So who knows? Maybe, you know, one of the episodes on General Hospital, he'll come back as a vampire or something. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. I looked up. It was Michael Easton. Yes. He is the perfect looking vampire.
He is. And he's so like suave in the way he delivers the lines and stuff. You just get sucked right in and you're like, yeah, I could be under his hypnotic.
You know? You're like, I already am. I don't even have to act.
Exactly. they were so cutting edge. And then afterwards, I think it was maybe a couple of years before doing As the World Turns. And that was a bit of a challenge because that was shot in Brooklyn back east.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't want to uproot my daughter from LA because, you know, you never know how long your character is going to last.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to say, yeah, we're moving back east. And then, you know, 13 weeks later, you're fired.
Yeah. I mean, that's just not good.
No. So I decided to jump on the opportunity because I don't like passing opportunities. And I flew back and forth every week.
Oh, man.
So, after the show, I jumped on a plane and spent the weekend with my daughter and then took a red eye back and learned my lines on the plane and got right to the set, shot, and then flew back again every week.
So wow.
I did that for 5 years.
How many years?
5 years.
That must have been so difficult just on your body as well.
It took a beating on my body, but at the same time, when you love doing something, I don't think you feel it as much. And then, you know, you get into a groove and a rhythm and a pace and you're like, oh, this is fine. This is normal.
You're like, oh, this is what everybody does, right?
Exactly. And then when it stops, you're like, oh my God, I'm tired.
Wow. That was a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so that was, but you know what? It was a great show, and it was I don't regret doing it. I learned so much. I met so many great people from it. It was a great experience. So I'm glad I did it.
Yeah.
You can shop from anywhere, doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
That's a lot. That's impressive that you did that for so long. It's certainly a life-changing thing.
Well, you know, B12 vitamins helped a lot.
You just go into the doctor every weekend while you're home getting shots of vitamin C.
Yeah, and I don't mean to name drop, but a few Red Bulls here and there.
Hey, Red Bulls can save your life on set. I've definitely been there.
Yeah, lots of coffee, that helped too, and you know, got me through it. And then and then after the show went off the air, sadly, I did days and I did one character, and then came back and did another character. You know, but I had different hair, so they didn't recognize me.
Your hair color was different, so clearly you're a different person.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God.
That's how it goes, right?
I love that. I love that in soap opera worlds, you can get away with things like that and nobody second guesses it. It's just the way it is.
Well, you know what was funny is a lot of fans wrote in and they said, you know, I was looking at you and you looked familiar and I didn't know what it was. And then I realized it was you. So you know what? It does work. So I thought that was funny.
I think it does have to do with the fans being like super just like whatever we tell them, they're going to believe, you know?
But that's the thing with daytime drama is because you watch it every day and you get so pulled into it that you do believe it, you know? And I got to be blonde, which I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to dye my hair blonde, but I thought I can't keep it up. And why do I want to get new headshots after doing my hair blonde? So this was a great opportunity to go, yeah.
I did that earlier this year. I went back to blonde and then I got new headshots and then the world shut down and I was like, God damn it. Now what do I do? Just spend $500 on this stuff.
Exactly. So you're like, oh no, now what? Well, you know what? If you go back to another hair color, you could go back and forth from headshot to headshot.
It's kind of what I'm thinking. I mean, my days of brunette are probably, you know, 17, 18, but I think I still look like those photos most of the time. So oh I think God, I could do it.
Yeah. And you know what? I loved red on you too. That made your eyes really pop. That looked really good on you.
I love red hair. I'll go back. You know, I got so much time to mess with the hair. I know a lot of people have been doing it during quarantine too. I was going to dye my hair like blue, just like the bottoms, just add a cute little blue thing. And I texted my friend Denise who does my hair for me. And I was like, hey, so I want to put some blue in my hair. What should I get? And she goes, do not put blue in your hair. Your hair will turn green. Well, and she just like immediately shut me down. I was like, okay, fine.
But if it's only the ends, you could cut them off after a while.
I love your reasoning.
Or you could put want those clip-on things that, you know, you could put some, like, color in
your
hair.
Oh, yeah. I definitely used to use those in auditions, like, as a teenager when I went out for, like, the goth or the punk roles. I'd always get those, like, little clip-ins and put those in fake piercing on my nose.
Yeah, that's fun. See, that's what's so much fun about auditioning and playing characters. You get to do all these things that you wouldn't do in, well, I wouldn't do in normal life.
But it also makes cleaning out your closet very hard because you're like, am I going to wear this? No. Am I going to have to audition for something in this? Probably.
Exactly. Or just throw it in your car so your car gets full with all these clothing.
Somebody should create an actor van, which is like outside of all of the audition studios where you can just rent clothing for the day to go in and wear that specific thing for the audition.
You know, that's a very, very clever idea, actually, because there's times where I have forgotten something or a last minute audition comes up and you're like, I don't have that. Well, that would be very cool.
Well, let's talk about this later. We'll start a new business. It'll be fantastic. All right. So on this show, I like to have my friends tell me stories about, you know, bad audition experiences or funny audition experiences or losing out on roles that you really wanted. Do you have a story that you'd like to share with us?
I have so many stories. It's kind of sad.
I'm with you.
There is one story that was so embarrassing to me. I think, you know, it was so embarrassing. You start heating up and sweating during the audition because, you know, you have just messed up so bad and you just want to crawl out the room. And it was for us, I can't remember the show, but it was for a sci-fi show. And I love sci-fi. I mean, that would be my ultimate goal to do a sci-fi show. I just love them. So, you know, I was trying really hard to impress the casting agent and I went in and I was taught this new technique where you don't staple your sides together. So, you know, you just read the page and then throw it on the floor and then read the next page and throw it on the floor. And I thought, okay, I'm going to try this new way of doing it and really impress the casting director that, you know, I'm so professional.
Oh no.
It was such a mess. I read the first page and, you know, you try and be off book as much as possible. So you look up and I threw it down and I realized that I hadn't finished that first page and it's now on the floor.
Oh my God.
And I don't remember the line. And what am I going to do? Am I going to go down on the floor and pick it back up and try and figure out what that line is? So I'm trying to rack my brain here. And this is when I start heating up and sweating that, oh my God, I can't remember the line. And I'm not going to, you know, kneel down and pick up the paper that is now on the floor. So I basically improvised and jumped ahead to the next page, which did not make any sense at all. The casting director was looking at me like, we're just going to get rid of this audition.
Oh my God.
And I just felt like I could just crawl out of the room. And after that, it just went downhill. Cause then you're flustered, but you're trying to keep your cool, but you know, I'm not that good of an actress.
You're a great actress.
But you know, when you know you've really messed up, no matter what kind of improvising you're doing and it's not connecting or clicking, it's just a mess. And
well, yeah, because once you like start messing up, then you get inside your head and then you forget totally who the character is. And then you're just literally sweating through your shirt and in your head saying, you're an idiot, you're an idiot, you're an idiot, get out of there.
Yep, which is basically what I did. So I just, I couldn't get out of there fast enough. I got to the end of the fourth page and I was like, thank you very much. And I just read it. I was like, oh my God. Well, obviously I never saw that casting director ever again.
Oh no.
And from now on, all my sides are stapled together. So if I need to go back, I don't have to go on the floor to pick up the paper. And you know what? That technique doesn't work for me, I found out. And I don't mean to, you know, put down any techniques. Everybody has their own thing and you have to find what works for you. But that day I found out that technique did not work for me.
I don't think I could do that either, because it being on the floor just seems so final, you know?
Yeah. And then, you know, if you forget, what are you going to do? You're going to kneel down to pick up the paper, right? And then you're off camera and then you're flopping back up and you're like, this is not good. So I was just so disappointed because, you know, I really wanted that sci-fi gig and I feel you.
I would love to be on like a magical show or a sci-fi show, something that has its roots in like absolute false reality, you know?
Yeah, I think it's so much fun to just get that imagination mm-hmm. going and just to do, just something magical like that. That would be my dream job.
100%. Like I grew up dreaming of being on Charmed.
Oh, that would be fun.
I know. I was obsessed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when I was a kid on a couple commercials, people would tell me that like I looked like Shannon Doherty, which always just made me feel so great because I was like, yes, I am a Hallowell sister.
Well, all those ladies, I mean, they were hotties and sweeties. They looked like it must have been fun to be on set with them.
I don't know. I've read some stories that it wasn't like, at least in the early days, it wasn't the best set. But I know. Who knows if any of it's real? I would hope that it was great because I love the show, so I want it to be great, but who knows?
You know, I don't believe I don't know what to believe anymore.
Me either.
I just figure I always I have to decide for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I've come to the conclusion that I don't know what news is true and what news is false.
Yeah, there's a lot of as Trump would say, fake news out there. Jesus.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's a whole other segment.
That's a whole other show that I'd have to start.
Yeah. And much longer than 30 minutes.
Much longer. It would honestly, if I could just record myself all day speaking to the television, that would probably be the show.
Yeah.
Just me yelling at Twitter and yelling at the news.
It might be exhausting, though. You might be pretty knackered by the end of it.
You know, Twitter has exhausted me a little bit lately, but it's hysterical. The louder I get on it, the more super liberal followers I get, which is fantastic for me. But, like, yeah. I love that. But I recently, actually this morning, I looked at somebody, like, got so angry at something I had tweeted. And they like actually went to my website and filled out like a complaint form. It's like, dude, you have so much time on your hands. What are you doing?
Wow.
People are crazy.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. People are, you know, they're interesting.
They're everybody's very emotional.
Yeah.
And everything is affecting everybody on different levels. But, you know, we're all entitled to our opinion.
Exactly.
It's a different perspective.
Yeah.
Let's all be open-minded and listen to everything. And
it's getting a little rough out there. I mean, I've had friends like who are, you know, much, much more famous than I ever could be. But they've had to turn off their like disable their replies on Twitter because it got like really, really nasty really quick. So they had to disable it so that people couldn't respond.
That's so sad.
Isn't that crazy?
I don't understand the point of that. I don't understand why you have to be, unkind.
I don't get it either. I like being snarky and I like being sarcastic, but I would never do anything that was like super nasty and like actually directed toward a single person that I don't know.
I agree. I don't understand the point of that at all to me. But
anyway, well, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your story. Where can people find you on social media now that we're talking about it?
Yeah, social media. Let's see. I'm on Instagram as Marie Wilson Official and on Twitter as Marie Wilson 1. What else do I have? I can't keep up with all these social media sites, but those are Instagram is my main go-to first one, and then Twitter is my second one. So and then Disrupted is a film I'm that is coming out that has been accepted into the Soho International Film Festival.
Oh,
so
I'm fun.
So that's going to be coming out in New York soon. So I'll post on that on my on my Insta.
On your Insta?
Yeah. So you guys can keep up.
That's exciting. Yeah. Are they going to do like a virtual festival for it?
I don't know what they're doing. That'll be interesting. The last festival that I went to was a drive-in. So that was kind of cool. Yeah, that was really fun. I'm glad those are coming back. I like them. But we'll see what happens. I'll let you know.
Yeah, let me know. I'd love to go.
Okay.
Virtually. Yeah. I'm not getting on a plane. I love you, but I'm not getting on a plane.
It's okay. Neither am I.
Oh, man. Thank you so much. It was so nice catching up with you. I love talking to you.
I know. It's so much fun. I enjoyed it so much. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Thanks again to Marie for coming on. I love bad audition stories. They make me so happy. I'm not sure if I'm going to have an episode next week. Just kind of feeling it out. Got some life stuff going on. So I may be back. I may take a week off. But in the meantime, you can check out our social media. Those links are in the show notes. And would love to connect with y'all. So leave some comments and we'll talk. You can also find my social media if you want, and I'll talk to you there. Make sure you subscribe to the show wherever you're listening to it now, and tell your friends, your family, the cast of West Wing, please. And as always, thanks for coming in.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.